Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon, as I mentioned a little bit ago, is our epistle reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2. When someone is going through a difficult time, a tragedy, the number one thing that experts will tell you not to say to them is, "I understand how you feel." Because the person who is suffering will immediately think, they might not say it out loud, or they might, but they will at least think, "No, you don't." And usually they'd be right, unless you have gone through the exact same tragedy. You don't know how it feels. In fact, none of us knows how it feels to be anyone else. None of us knows what it's like to live life in another person's shoes. Every one of us here this morning has lived, is living, a unique life, faced different challenges, overcome different obstacles, suffered different tragedies and pains. You do not know what it is like to be the person sitting in front of you right now, or to be the person sitting behind you, or to be the person sitting next to you. And they do not know what it is like to be you. Maybe that is why God teaches us in the commandments to explain everything in the kindest way, or put the best construction on everything. And why the scriptures urge us and even command us to forgive. Now, does that mean that we should not call a sin or call people to repentance? No. We need to do those things if we want to be faithful. But it does mean that our desire when we do those things, when we call a sin, and when we call people to repentance, our desire should always be reconciliation and forgiveness. Because none of us knows what it's like to be anybody else. Sometimes we think the same thing about God. God just doesn't know what it's like. Maybe we add the word "nowadays" onto the end of that sentence too. God is perfect, immortal, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything. There's nothing that he cannot do, nothing that's beyond his power or control. He doesn't know what it's like to struggle with temptation. He doesn't know what it's like to deal with tragedies that come at you right out of the blue, beyond your power or control, because nothing is outside of his power or control. He doesn't know what it's like to be at the mercy of unfeeling circumstances, to be completely helpless, powerless, because he's God. When tragedy strikes us, isn't that how we often picture God? He's up there somewhere, sitting on a throne, looking down on us, dealing with whatever mess we're dealing with down here. God just doesn't know what it's like. Our epistle reading from Hebrews this morning has some rather profound words for us today. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. God himself became flesh and blood, because you and I, his children, have flesh and blood. God himself became flesh and blood. That's what that big holiday we just observed a little over a month ago was all about. Christmas is not about cookies or presents or even about family, although all those things are good. Christmas was about God becoming flesh and blood, real flesh and blood, just like you. He did not just appear to have flesh and blood, but when the nails pierced him, he bled real blood. His body grew just like ours did or is doing. He grew from a baby into a man. Real flesh, real blood. God. So, God, in fact, does know exactly what it's like. He knows what it is like to suffer tragedy. Back in biblical times, the mortality rate was unbelievably high. Did Jesus see good friends die? Back in those days, everybody saw good friends die. In the wilderness, Jesus fasted for 40 days, so he knows what it is to be hungry. In fact, he probably knows what it is to be hungrier than I have ever been. Because I don't know about you, but I've never fasted for 40 days. Jesus knows what it is to be thirsty. He knows what it is to be tired. Remember that time when Jesus and his disciples are out on the sea in a boat and the storm comes up and it's so bad that the disciples are afraid that the boat is going to swamp and they're all going to drown? Remember what Jesus was doing? He was asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat because he was exhausted. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be at the mercy of those more powerful than you. He knows what it is to have people whisper about you behind your back, plot against you, and seek to make you look foolish. He knows what it is to face death, his own death. And Jesus knows what it is to die. We are used to thinking about how Jesus took all of our sins on himself. And that's true, he did. But the prophet Isaiah also says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So when we imagine God way up there somewhere looking down on us and the mess we have to deal with down here, we are not seeing God correctly. Instead, we should look at Jesus. If you want to see what God looks like, look at Jesus. See Jesus carry your grief and carry your sorrow, carry your tragedy and carry your pain all the way to the cross. Not just so that he can commiserate with you, not just so that he can sit down next to you and say, yeah, man, life stinks sometimes. Believe me, I know. No, so that he can actually do something about it. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He knows what it is to live and to suffer and to cry and to die. And why did he take on our flesh and blood? That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. The ones subjected to lifelong slavery is you and me. Death has its grip on us and it does not want to let us go. From the moment we are born, we inch closer and closer to the moment we die. There's no escaping it, no way to get around it. For some people it comes sooner and for others it comes later. But it always comes just the same. So, Jesus did not just take our sins on himself. He did. But he did not just take our griefs and our sorrows upon himself. He did. But he also took upon himself our death. Our death. He took it. The thing that we are subject to, he subjected himself to. He died so that he could destroy death for you and for me. The resurrection is the undoing of death. Death is undone by Jesus. So, while for now we may still someday have to die, death is not the end. Resurrection follows because Jesus brings life out of death. That's why we confess what might possibly be the most hope-filled words in the creed. And maybe we say it so often we don't really think about what we're saying. But in the Apostles' Creed, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body. In the Nicene Creed, we say, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We look for it. We look forward to it. We know it is coming because death has been defeated. It has no power. In one day, death will be undone forever. So we look for that day. When will it come? I do not know. It could be today. It could be 1,000 years from now. But it's coming. And we look for it. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like them in every respect, so that he might become a faithful and merciful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The offspring of Abraham is everyone who believes. The high priest is the one who stands between God and his people. That's what Jesus does. He stands between God and us and pays for our sins in our place. All of your sins are paid for. In Jesus, you are made new. Because he himself suffered when tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So there's one more thing that Jesus knows. He knows what it is like to be tempted. So we cannot say, well, you just don't know what it's like. He does. He was tempted in every way that we are. Yes, in every way that we are. He was flesh and blood, remember. So he is able to help those who are being tempted. You and I suffer temptation every day. Some temptations are big. Some temptations are small. Jesus suffered them too. He knows how strong they can be sometimes, so that he can help. You have fought spiritual battles in your life that no one else knows about. Perhaps some of them you have won, and perhaps others of them you have lost. But Jesus knows. He comes to help you fight in them. Because he has fought those battles too. The battles that you fight, he has fought for you. So now he helps you in yours. Because he knows exactly what it is like. He comes to give you strength when you are weak. Because he knows what it is to be weak. He comes to give you hope when you despair. Because he knows what it is to need hope. He comes to give you help when you are powerless. Because he knows what it is to be powerless. And because he himself has taken on our flesh and blood, carried our sins, carried our griefs, carried our sorrows, carried our death, he even comes to give you life. Even when you are dead. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.